think it very appropriate that it is here in the very visible presence of the Blessed Sacrament of Jesus here in the Eucharist, exposed on the altar in the monstrance. For indeed, our theme for our meditation on this, our third conference, is to meditate on the fact that our lives are truly an adventure to be lived. In the last conference, I shared with you my joy in hiking, and specifically when Monsignor Perkington and I went and encountered in a very real sense the presence of God in that saddle between the mountains. What I didn't mention in the last talk is that the next morning I went out to this rock outcropping that dropped 1,000 feet under my feet, and I literally sat down and pulled out my Liturgy of the Hours and began to pray, you know, morning prayer and office of readings with my feet dangling over 1,000-foot drop. And as I was praying, the sun just peeked over one of the peaks. And right when it did that, this eagle came flying in, and the eagle started to catch the morning updrafts off the side of the mountain from the sun beating down. And I remembered just being overwhelmed with the beauty of God. How that moment I truly encountered God in a profound way. I find that hiking, you know, purges a lot of stress in my life. It's something about being on the mountaintop that makes my heart sing. And indeed, this adventure of hiking is something that's always been near and dear to my heart. And I wanted to tell you kind of a continuation of that that ties into our theme for this evening. And I want to tell you about Long's Peak. If you know anything about hiking, Long's Peak should ring a bell. It's a very famous peak in Colorado, one of the 14,000 footers. But it's one of the hardest straight hiking peaks to climb. And the reason why I say that is you don't need specialized gear. You don't need, you know, pittons and ice axes and things like that. You can just straight hike it. But it is one of the most difficult because it goes up, and then the trail goes down, and then it goes back up again to get to the peak. And indeed, most people who are in really good shape start at 3 in the morning at the trailhead. You literally have to start at 3 in the morning because you have to summit by noon, and you have to be off of the summit shortly thereafter because pretty much every day a lightning storm, which is mountain-induced, rumbles through, usually about 1:30 every day, most days, almost every day. So you literally have to be on the summit by noon and be descending because you're the highest point on that peak. There's no trees around. It's just rock. So you got to get off there when that lightning storm hits. For me, in a sense, this mountaintop, Long's Peak, has begun to assume the, shall we say, the legend of the Holy Grail. And the reason why is the first time I made the ascent, I was with a family. And before we even got to the keyhole, which is a certain point in the hike, we got turned back. We got turned back before the boulder field because we were literally, when we got up high enough, an ice snowstorm blew in. And you have to respect the mountain. And what I find, I still kind of find it comical, is that being a hiker, I'd made sure that I brought all the appropriate gear for myself. I could have bunked down and hunkered down and been fine. But the family that I was with, they had 3 teenage children, all 3 of which were in shorts and a t-shirt. And they were carrying on their backs a single sleeping bag. And as they were literally huddled behind a rock, shaking because they were so cold, they kept saying, "Father, we can go on, we can take it." And I looked at them and I said, "No, we're going." And so we turned around. And that's where, in our last conference, when we talked about, yes, you know, we have battles to fight, but we also have to know when to flee. In that case, I am very much, and I know that if we would have continued on, they would have been dead. It's just that simple. You have to respect the mountain. So that was my first attempt at Long's Peak. My second attempt was a couple years later, and we made it up to the boulder field, and then we made it to the keyhole. The only problem was the second time that I did it, I was about 180 pounds, which is 20 pounds lighter than I currently am. And at 180 pounds, just about kicked my butt. Jesus understands. That's not swearing in front of him. It was pretty bad. And here's the sad thing. We got within 200 feet of the peak. Literally 200 feet, less than 200 feet. We were over 14,000 feet. We were less than 200 feet from the peak. We only had literally the last little ascent to do. The problem was, is we went about a week too early. And that last ascent was a pure, solid sheet of ice straight up. And we didn't have any specialized gear, of course. And so we returned back. 200 feet from the peak! I have photographic evidence. We took our GPS and held it right next to our faces and took a picture to show. And we were within 200 feet. There is a day that will come. Won't be this summer because we're building the new church. But maybe next summer. I think next summer we're going to try again. And by golly, we're going to make it. What is it all about? What is it about an adventure? Why is it that, by golly, I am going to get to the top of Long's Peak? I'll have to lose 30 pounds, but I'll do it. Why? What is it about an adventure? In all its various forms. I mean, this is just one form of an adventure. There are so many different ways we can enter into an adventure. And I think, and this is the heart of it, there are two reasons. Number one, the reason why an adventure, understood properly, in whatever form it takes, calls to the deepest part of our souls, is that it requires something of us. It requires that we got to lay something out on the table, if you will. We got to give of our very self. And that echoes and harkens to one of the main themes that you've heard all these talks, is to pour forth life. We have to give of ourselves. We have to lay something out there. An adventure requires us to give of our very self. When I got to the top of the trough, I thought I was dead. It's 1,000-foot ascent, and it's pretty much you're literally climbing up boulders. It's like Stairmaster from hell. 1,000 feet ascent in not a very short amount of time. And I remember, and it's up over 13,000 feet by the time you get above it. And if you know anything about the oxygen level at over 13,000 feet, it drops a lot. So I'm standing up there literally with my hands on my knees going, don't try to do that unless you really need it. Sorry. Because I thought I was going to die. I was laying it all out there. I didn't have anything else to give. And that's why it draws us. But I think a second reason is because, and it's directly related to this, it puts us to the test. Do I have the strength? Can I do this? And there's something hardwired, as I've said in numerous different ways, hardwired into our very masculine soul. Do I have the strength? Now, lest we think that adventures are simply, you know, out in the outdoors. I love the outdoors, but some people, you know, their idea of a hike is, of an adventure is to go to a Motel 6 instead of a, you know, Super 8 or whatever. A Holiday Inn or, I don't know, whatever the hotels are. I don't even know what their good ones are, bad ones. Anyways, some people just, that's not their thing. Great, that's fine. Adventures come in all kinds of different forms. 4 years ago, I got a phone call from Bishop Bruskowitz. The amazing thing is when you get a phone call from the bishop around assignment time, as I mentioned, your life is going to change. And I was the superintendent of schools in Hastings, Nebraska. And I get the phone call. And the bishop says, I'm sending you to St. Patrick's. Okay, bishop. I didn't ask him, are you sure this time? And as we were talking, he says to me, Normally, when you get an assignment to a parish as a pastor, the bishop just says, you know, go and serve the spiritual needs of the people, draw them into holiness, guide them. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but, you know, platitudes. You know, go be holy, you know, lead your people to holiness, which is important, don't get me wrong, but it's not real specific. No, not this time. No. I got turned on my head. Because he says, and I want you to do three things. And at that moment, I was like, okay, this is different. He goes, number one, I want you to tear down that old rectory at St. Patrick's. It's an eyesore. It's been there 4 years. It needs to be gone. The new rectory's been there 4 years. Tear it down. It's an eyesore. Okay, Bishop, I can handle that. We'll do that. We'll get it torn down. He says, second of all, that school, there should be more kids in that school. Increase the enrollment at the school. A little harder there, Bishop. And then he dropped the bomb. Oh, and they need a parish church. They've needed a new church for 30 years. Build a new church. Okay, Bishop. You want to talk about an adventure? Oh, my. Adventures come in many different forms and shapes. These last 4 years, it's required something of me. We've had to, not just me, but the entire parish. We have poured ourselves out. We faced a test. You know, it's kind of interesting, and I never cease to, and, you know, I'm sticking my chest out, not because I'm a great pastor, but I'm so proud of the people of St. Patrick's, and I've got one right here, so close your ears, because you don't want to get a big head. But anyways, we were told 2 years ago by a professional fundraising committee, you'll raise $1.25 million. Yeah, you can't build much of a church for $1.25 million. We raised $3 million. You know, there's, and this is me, we can't build pews, that's insane. We're pretty much done. We've got to put the stain on and finish in a few minor little things. So many different ways, so many different miracles. But it has required us to put ourselves out there, to lay it on the line. You know, for me personally, and this is more of just kind of revealing my own heart here, it's really touched my passion. That question I asked you the very first time we got together, what gives me strength? Striving for some good together for the glory of God. That's what enlivens me. That's what drives and gives me personally passion. And so this adventure, I know is God's calling. Because let me tell you, I can probably list on one hand the number of priests that were given direct and specific instructions. Go do this! It wasn't just the bishop speaking. God has a great adventure that he lives. And I don't think we've ever thought about this very, or at least I don't think of it very often. But God has a great adventure that he lives. And you know what that great adventure is? He gave us free will. Have you ever thought about what an incredible adventure that is? He was willing to risk it all. An adventure always involves a risk. God was willing to risk it all. He gave us free will. That blows my mind away. Jesus, right here. He lives the biggest risk. He gave us free will. Right now, any one of you could stand up and you could come up here and grab the monsters and throw it on the ground and step on it. Now, I wouldn't let you do it, and probably every other person in this room wouldn't let you do that, but you could try. That's free will. When I was in the seminary in New York City, there was a gay rights activist group that was called ACT UP. This is over 20 years ago. They were radical. It was amazing because Cardinal O'Connor, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of New York at the time, this was in the beginning of the whole AIDS epidemic that struck. And he was outside of the federal government. The Archdiocese of New York was the largest single caregiver for AIDS victims. And yet he was absolutely viciously attacked. In one particular time, the police received a report that there was going to be a demonstration and that Cardinal O'Connor's life was in danger. And I mean, in New York, that's not just, you know, saying words. And the police were like, you got to wear a bulletproof vest. Literally, they were telling the archbishop he had to have a bulletproof vest underneath his vestments because he wasn't going to not have the mass. He's like, I will have the mass. And he said, I won't be wearing a bulletproof vest. And, you know, if you knew Cardinal O'Connor, he was, shall we say, strong-willed. So guess who won that particular battle? But what he did do is he had a large group of priests come that day for mass, for the 10 o'clock. It was Sunday morning, 10 o'clock mass. Now, if you know anything about priests, you know that the busiest day we have is Sunday morning. And yet, a large, I think it was like almost 200 priests. I mean, it was just a huge number of priests came to the cathedral in answer to his call. And when he got up to preach the homily, these activists, quote unquote, got up and they started screaming just vile and vicious and horrible obscenities at the bishop. And they chained themselves to the pews. And it was one of the most amazing things as the archbishop came to the center of the sanctuary and all 200 priests came and formed a double line completely surrounding the archbishop. And he stood there with his crozier and his mitre, and he pulled out the greatest weapon I've ever seen. He pulled out a rosary, and he started praying. And it was like this swell overcame the entire church, and the voice of prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, drowned out. You couldn't literally hear anymore the activists screaming. And they were screaming at the top of their lungs, but you couldn't hear them. They were overcome. And it was one of the most powerful scenes to see the Archbishop of New York standing in the middle of, basically, it was like he was on a ship and these 200 priests were the ship. And you could just, if you saw it, it was like this wave that just broke and washed over, and they stood there. That's an adventure. They risked it. The archbishop risked it because somebody could have pulled out a gun. That was a credible threat that had been reported. I mean, heck, people can assassinate the Pope. They can assassinate some cardinal archbishop in New York. It is New York, after all. And yet he stood there in the face of that risk. God risks everything for you and I. He risks everything. That's the ultimate adventure of God, is that he risks for all of us, that he risks our relationship. But when you stop and think about it, every relationship involves risk. Every relationship is unpredictable. Is there anybody that would argue with that? Unpredictability? I think the number one thing I hear from couples is the unpredictability. And usually it's the guys talking about their wives. You wouldn't believe. Yeah, that's part of the risk. But to love is to risk. When we love, by our very nature, we are giving of ourselves. We are breathing forth life. And that is a risk. I ran across an interesting phrase that I'm just going to read to you because I think verbatim, it's just incredible. It said, in the end, life is not a problem to be solved, but an adventure to be lived. How often do we see our lives as problems to be solved? I got this problem, Father, and I got that problem, and I got this problem. And I'm not trying to minimize the problems that are in our lives. We all have problems and crosses. That's just the human experience. But our life is not a problem to be solved. It's an adventure to be lived. How incredible is that? And that's the risk that he takes. That's the greatest of all risks. And you and I were made in his image and likeness. And thus we are called to the same, to risk. And that's what an adventure is, a risk. You know, Don't ask so much, and this reminds me so much, and this is another quote because I think it's a really neat quote, and it reminds me a whole lot about President Kennedy. Don't ask what the world needs. Okay, maybe it's just my own brain making connections. But anyways, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. That's a great phrase. The world needs each and every one of us fully alive, engaging in the adventure that God has instilled and bestowed and given. Because he has given the strength to go with it. It is enormously risky. When we try and eliminate all risk, it's a good thing to do in business. But in our spiritual journey, if we try to eliminate all risk and try to control everything, guess what happens? We die because who becomes the center? The I. Makes sense, like I said, in the business world. Yeah, absolutely, you should reduce risk. No problems with that. But in the spiritual journey, it's death. Because by trying to control everything and remove any chance of risk, we have become the star, in the sense, the sun in the center of the solar system. And when that happens, then we lose all of our strength. The refusal to trust God, to reach for control, runs deep in every one of us. And that is why God gives us the opportunity for an adventure. Because on an adventure, it's risky. You don't have control all the time. You know, when I set out on those two hikes up Long's Peak, the first time I didn't think there was going to be a snowstorm that was going to come. Again, I wasn't stupid. We turned back because that's not a risk. That's, you know, suicide. The second time, yeah, we got turned back because it was an ice cliff. But we risked it. We were willing to lay it out there. God has given us an incredible mission. As I said at the very first talk, to explore and to build, to care for creation insofar as to pour out our lives. The desire that God has written in your heart, the passion that I asked you to be meditating on this entire weekend, is a part of and fits into the grand divine providence that is amazing. God is in control. But because we can be deceived about what our passion is, sometimes we can think that something sinful is our passion. Because of original sin, we can be deceived. God gave us the teachings of the church so that we will know that this doesn't lead to life. This isn't a passion that God instills in anybody's heart. What is the true desire? But what's interesting is every time a false passion, a false desire comes into our heart, there's something valid underneath it. There's always something valid there. As Bishop Ruskowitz was always so fond of saying in confirmation homilies, and over 25 years I heard a few of them, and they were pretty similar. As he used to always love saying, you know, rat poison, 90% good, only 10% poison. Yeah, a passion that is not healthy and not from God, there's something there, though, that is from God. Because the human heart only responds to the truth. To live the adventure is to hear the passion, the dream that God has put into our hearts. But in order to hear it, we have to get away from the noise and the distraction of our daily lives. We have to enter the wilderness. You know, there is a reason why I love hiking, amongst many other reasons. And that is you can sit on that edge of that saddle and your heart is filled and there's no distractions. I love going to the mountains because I can say, sorry, no cell phone. Nope, can't get me by email, can't get me by text, can't get me by voicemail, can't get me. No, you just can't get me. I'm gone. I'm out there. Take care of it. Good luck. I was first ordained, I never forget it. This is before cell phones. I arrived in the parish, St. John's in Lincoln here, and pastor was Father Aborney, and I arrived and he said, welcome to the parish, I'm going on vacation, goodbye. Well, where can I call you? Can't get a hold of me. take care of it. Good luck. Out the door he walked. You want to talk about an adventure? Woo, man. The next day, no exaggeration, it's not in my notes, but what the heck, I'm going to tell you anyways. The very next day, literally, just left, gone, no way to get a hold of him. He's gone, 2 weeks, that's it. The very next day, I get a phone call. Father, there's somebody here that needs to be anointed. And I won't go into the full story, but the bottom line was, is I was a fresh priest and didn't know any better. But I learned... I learned, let me tell you, that was an adventure. And there was a lot of risk. But he had given me strength. He had given me strength. You know, we have to go out into the wilderness. We have to remove those distractions. And it's not a matter of taking away, it's a matter of finding that wilderness. Because I guarantee if you sit out and think, I'm going to stop thinking about everything else, guess what happens? You think of everything else. You have to find the wilderness. You have to enter into the mystery of God. And God is mysterious. I mean, come on. The second person of the Blessed Trinity is 5 feet away from me. This isn't mystery. We live in mystery. It's the very heart of who we are as men. We live that mystery. When we try and use formulas or methods, if you will, to control our lives, we end up losing our lives. Great phrase that I ran, and just, I swore to myself I was not going to preach for 50 minutes tonight, so I'm almost done. Great line here. A man is never more a man than when he embraces an adventure that is beyond his control. What an interesting idea in the spiritual journey. We are never more of a man than when we embrace the adventure that God has placed in our hearts. And the only way to survive that adventure is to keep an intimate personal communication. It's out of conversation with God. And this I'm going to end with, and I'm actually going to read what I wrote, because I don't want to misspeak. It is out of conversation with God that we will realize what our dream is, what our passion is, that God has written in our souls. And in that moment, we can let go of control and we can realize that God may fulfill my dream that He has written in my heart in a way that is way different than one we initially thought. I've learned that lesson. 20 years of priesthood has taught me. I'm thinking, this is the way it's going to go. This is the adventure God has in store for me. Nah, He does it in so many ways you never expect. So many ways you never expect. It's when we let go and listen. I'm going to read this one more time. And let this be kind of the thought. We're going to have about 20 minutes of just silent prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament here. And then we'll have night prayer. Out of our conversation with God, we will realize what our dream is that He has written in our hearts. What is the passion that He has given us? And in that moment, we can let go of control. And realize that God may very well fulfill that dream, that passion, in a way that is different than anything we may initially have thought.